Okay, three, two.
Three, two, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Mish Shedlock of MishTalk.com. But first, Napoleon Bonaparte once warned, "You must not fight too often with one enemy, or you will teach him all your art of war." So President Donald Trump, the author of The Art of the Deal, has gone to war with our closest allies for who needs enemies when you have friends? I get it, Stacy.
Well, you see, Napoleon Bonaparte had said, just don't focus too much on one enemy. But we have many friends, America. You know, we are the empire and everybody gives us a lot of leeway in terms of what we do with policy. But here comes Trump. And the headline reads, Trudeau calls Trump's trade tariffs against Canada, quote, insulting and unacceptable. In a sharp rebuke from one of America's closest allies, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau criticized the White House rationale for imposing punitive trade tariffs on Canada as insulting and unacceptable, the latest leader to warn of a looming trade war with the U.S. Donald Trump's reason given for imposing these tariffs of up to 25% on imported steel and 10% on imported aluminum was a national security issue. And of course, Trudeau is like, what sort of national security issue do you have with Canada?
Well, anyone who follows hockey would know that we don't have enough Americans in the National Hockey League, and it's all Canada's fault, and that is a national security issue, because what if we have to go play Russia again? Okay? Now, let's talk about this for a second, because I remember when Trump visited Paris, and he and Trudeau were all buddy-buddy. And
Paris. Max, that's Macron.
Oh, right. Didn't Trump go see him in Paris?
He went to see Macron in Paris.
Who's this?
And this is Trudeau of Canada.
Oh, I got those two guys confused. Well, I don't know about it. I mean, I've got hockey on the brain. And, you know, there's so many Canadians and French people in Canada. It's all like, didn't France own Canada at what point? I can't keep up.
Well, of course, I think Trudeau and Macron do kind of look alike. And they have that whole, oh, we're so liberal, we're progressive, we're neoliberal, you know, all the sort of resistance sorts really love those two. But Trudeau said that Canada would impose retaliatory tariffs against American-made steel and aluminum, as well as other goods. Officials have said cheese, whiskey, orange juice, and dozens of other items will be targeted, many from states that Trump won in 2016, in an effort to pressure him to reverse course. Ms. Shedlock of MishTalk.com, your thoughts on the tariffs slapped on Canada, Mexico, and the EU? Is this just Trump playing a sort of madman deal-making strategy, and will that strategy work?
Hey, Stacy, why wage war on enemies when you can wage war on friends instead? See, friends are much more forgiving. So despite all of this talk from the EU, from Trudeau, now they're mad as hell. And actually, they ought to be mad. And I don't think Trump knows what he's getting into. A few weeks ago, he tweeted, trade wars are easy to win. And he tweeted something again to the same effect on that about our trade policies with Mexico and China. And now he says he wants, I don't know if you saw this, he wants NAFTA by a new name. Okay, NAFTA by a new name. What the new name is, actually, is Trump wants a separate bilateral agreement with Mexico and a separate one with Canada. Then this goes back to something he said all along, guys, that he likes bilateral agreements. Again, this is part of the art of the deal. I think he thinks he can construct a really good deal individually that he can't do, you know, bargaining. But I'm really wondering if his real target here is, well, supposedly it should be China. But if you look at our policies, what we've been doing, he's actually crucifying Germany. He's threatened to block all luxury cars coming into the U.S. out of Germany, period. Germany is so afraid of this that they're likely not going to stand up. I think Canada will, and I think Mexico will. I think the EU is going to splinter over this, and it's going to end. Watching the EU is going to be a lot more interesting because all of a sudden Macron and Trump seem to be buddies. And but if you look, France doesn't export cars to the U.S. Germany does.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's, when you're talking there, it reminds me of Brexit, really, because part of the strategy there was we're just going to do bilateral deals and we don't want this over-encompassing deal because it hurts us too much. So everyone's trying to do bilateral deals. And I guess it seems like the whole idea of globalization now is in reverse.
Oh, absolutely, Max. It is absolute globalization in reverse. People accuse me of being a globalist. It depends on how you want to define it. I'm certainly in favor of free trade. I believe you guys are. But it's this evil word. So we can't just say free trade anymore. We got to call it globalist. And, ooh, that's bad. Well, the idea of free trade is good. What was it Trump said the other day? Oh, this is what he said that really caught my eye. He said, in every deal, someone wins and someone loses. Well, that's crazy. People wouldn't enter deals if someone lost every deal. The idea behind free trade is, you know, we'll give you stuff, you give our stuff, everyone's happy with the deal, or they wouldn't make it. But if you believe that someone has to lose every deal, well then, you know, Trump is acting as if he believes he's losing a deal with the whole rest of the world. In fact, if China wants to subsidize U.S. solar panels or whatever, we would be foolish not to take it. And the same way with the EU, the EU and the US both bumped up tariffs on solar panels. And what's weird about this is everyone, well, especially the EU, wants all this clean solar energy. And all of a sudden, well, they don't want it if China's going to give it to them for free. Now, how crazy is that?
Well, equally crazy and fitting in with your theory, which I believe is right, is that Donald Trump feels like only one party to a deal can win the deal, which is, I believe, crazy. He did say that he will not end these tariffs until he doesn't see a single BMW on Fifth Avenue. But isn't BMW, aren't these German auto manufacturers, aren't they some of the biggest investors in states like South Carolina, where Trump did very well?
They are, and he's threatening Toyota too. Certainly Toyota has a number of plants here. I mean, it goes down to what is even an export or an import anymore? Does anyone really know? And Trump's latest beef with Mexico, Stacey, is over parts. Well, I mean, these parts that are made in China, assembled in Mexico, you know, put in cars and shipped to the United States. We're talking about disrupting entire supply chains here over a deficit with Mexico that is actually quite trivial compared to our other debt. Same way with Canada. And look at housing in the U.S. Home prices in the U.S. are soaring without a doubt. And a part of that is lumber tariffs. You know, how many lumber jobs are we really saving here in the United States? It's crazy. Yet we slap these huge tariffs on Canadian lumber, allegedly to protect our lumber industry here. Crazy. Sugar is even worse. Why isn't sugar grown in hot places like Brazil? Instead, I mean, they try and grow it in Louisiana, or we get sugar beets, which are not as efficient to produce, instead of importing sugar from Brazil. So the whole thing is crazy. And of course, the EU's agricultural tariffs are worse, you know, than anywhere in the world, just to protect the French farmers. Everyone talks, they want free trade. And then they say, no, they really want fair trade. But when you come down to it, fair trade is always, we want you to remove your tariffs, we'll keep our tariffs on.
Right. So to get back to this discussion about global trade, globalism, and Trump's comment about everyone wins, somebody wins, somebody loses on all these trade deals. So, you know, that's the style that goes back to mercantilism. So mercantilism was the idea that countries are gaining at somebody else's expense. And under the gold standard, accounts were settled by moving gold around. And then we went off the gold standard and we entered a new period where central banks dominated global monetary, monetarism became, you know, replaced mercantilism, you could say. And that trade balances are looked at by these central banks, and they adjust interest rates accordingly, and they create this globalized, synchronized, just-in-time, wonderful economic model that Trump is saying is basically interrupting. He's disrupting. He's saying, we don't want monetarism anymore. We don't want the dollar anymore. It sounds like Trump wants to go back to a mercantilist style, which means inevitably going back to gold. He wants a gold standard. Whether he understands that or not, Mish, he is implicitly saying he wants to go back to a gold standard. What do you think?
That's a pretty decent comment there, Max. I don't think that's what he wants. I don't think that's what his foreign policy advisors want. I don't even think we're going to go there, although I think we should. What he's gearing up for is some sort of currency crisis. It's on the deck. We've talked about this before. Of course, the MMTers out there, modern monetary theory, will tell you that none of this matters because we owe the money to ourselves. And you know, my position on that is, okay, let's do it and see what's really going to happen. It's not going to work that way. Watch what happens to Italy if they attempt this. Or Brazil might be a better case, or even Japan would be a better case yet, because they truly do owe the money themselves. You know, here they are, you know, stuck in deflation because of all of this debt for literally decades. And Max, if it was so easy, it would have been done long ago. It's not easy. The MMTers don't get it. I think the Austrians do get it. Except where the Austrians go wrong is they don't understand the role of credit in all of this. And that is what's preventing all of this hyperinflation that they think is going to get. We're going to get. It's this debt is a huge burden. No one knows what to do with it. But I do think it's going to culminate in some sort of disaster, either in Europe, when Italy or someone leaves the Eurozone, or possibly first in Japan, if Japan does what the MMTers tell Japan to do.
Right. So Japan looks like ground zero for what happens when your population becomes so old that 100% of interest is paid on the debt that you're raising, creating to take care of that population. But getting back to what you said there, Trump and his policy advisors are not overtly seeking a gold standard. And then you said what will happen, though, is a currency crisis. So the point, again, is that historically, currency crises are mopped up by a return to the gold standard. That's the ebb and flow of gold and not gold going back hundreds of years. So I'll come back to this. I think that there will be a currency crisis and there will be an attempt to mop it all up. You got people like Jim Rickard saying, hey, we're going to roll it all up to a special drawing right from the IMF. That's one way to go. But I think that with China, Russia, and others accumulating hundreds and hundreds of tons of gold every single year, they're preparing now for a return back to gold, Mish.
Yeah, I think so, Max. And this SDR idea doesn't hold water. I don't think the U.S. would agree to it because I don't think the crisis starts here first. I think the crisis starts elsewhere. We can look at right now in emerging markets what the strengthening dollar is doing to some of these countries. Already, you know, we've got Latin America blowing up again over largely strengthening of the dollar. We've got a hotbed of political activity in Europe right now. Stacey, was interesting. The cover of Der Spiegel came out this week. It was a picture of a noose. And it was accusing Italy of being moochers. This is the state of affairs now, where sentiment is so bad, we have Germany not attacking Greece, but Germany attacking Italy. We have Trump essentially doing the same thing, blaming Germany, Canada, and Mexico of being moochers. Who's really being the moochers here? One might look at Trump and one might look at U.S. policy and determine that a lot of the problem is right here.
Right. Thanks so much, Mish. That's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Mish Shedlock of MishTalk.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.